Welcome to Dissecting the 80s. I am one half of the Mega Podcasting Powers, Trip Lano.
And I'm Andrew Lano.
And our guest this week is...
Allison Fishbach.
Marty, we're gonna go back to dissect the 80s.
When the Mega Powers explode!
I'm talking about the 80s.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania run wild on you?
Mega Power Team!
The movie we watched this week is Maximum Overdrive. Allison, why don't you tell the people about the film?
It is written and directed by Stephen King. It is about murderous vehicles. Oh, I guess it was all electronics.
Anything with a motor.
Anything with motor. But apparently not cars, because the cars were fine.
Some cars did.
Yes.
Some cars didn't.
Yeah.
Was the implication.
Yeah.
But mostly big rigs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically the plot of the film is that our group of people are stuck in a
truck stop.
Yeah.
Dixie Boy.
This is
Dixie Boy.
We're heading to Wilmington, North Carolina's Dixie Boy truck stop for this movie. And it starts off with a set piece I kind of thought was a lot of fun. We have a bank that says, fuck you, flashing letters. And then Stephen King himself in his own movie.
Right, and the teller machine is calling him an asshole.
Over and over and over again.
At this point, you're like, oh, this is going to be kind of goofy and silly. Like, yeah. The machines are like, we don't want to take orders anymore. And it's just like... they're going to be like equals, but then the bridge scene happens, and you're like, this isn't funny anymore.
That's what I wanted to get to.
It's still funny.
This isn't quirky anymore, though.
Because it's just absurd. Like, people flying out of vehicles. Like, no one wears a seatbelt.
No one wore a seatbelt.
There's watermelons everywhere.
Gallagher's nightmare.
Yeah, I think you called it death by Gallagher, which is just absolutely
like
killed me.
Gets out of the car and falls on a pile of watermelons.
The bridge scene is that a drawbridge-type bridge opens up. Not drawbridge. Yeah. What are they called?
Drawbridge on a castle.
They're about to enter a medieval castle.
The portcullis. Raise the portcullis and lower the drawbridge.
The alligators are all over the moat. It's really bad.
The bridges that, like, raise so that, like, tall ships can go through.
Are they not called
a
drawbridge?
I'm pretty sure it is called a drawbridge, yeah.
Are they still? I don't know. Yeah. It just sounded stupid.
I thought it sounded stupid, too.
Draws up.
But, yes, so it's a drawbridge that opens, and then all the people on the drawbridge start falling down. And the guys who were supposed to be watching the drawbridge are instead inside... playing with naked
nudie
cards with nudie cards,
but
yes.
To be fair, generally speaking, I don't think the job is to watch the drawbridge for sentience. I think the job is to push the buttons that make the drawbridge move.
I mean, maybe, but you have to think that part of their job is to make sure there's no accidents. They have to call it in on the radio.
I mean,
they're probably just waiting for a ship to ask them to raise it. Yeah, and that's probably what it is. Like, there's none of that. So
right, so they're not doing their job.
It's not a
obviously.
Puppy.
I think they should have been paying more attention. There would have been a lot less dead people if they were paying attention.
I don't think there's anything they could really do.
Yeah. That
So anyway, we go from the bridge scene, which is really just an excuse to kill a bunch of people in the movie and kill some time. Yes, exactly. It's a tone setter. And we get to the Dixie Boy truck stop, which is where we're going to hang out for the majority of the rest of the movie shortly after that. Now, the Dixie Boy is just your standard all-American middle-of-the-nowhere truck stop. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch
Diner.
Of people in there of all
showers.
Different. Yeah, showers. They tell you a lot about the showers.
Yeah.
So I guess truck. That must be a thing that truck drivers need.
It is. Oh, it is. If you've ever been to a big truck stop.
I think they sleep in their cabs.
Yeah.
Things.
So, but they're all about the showers. It's all over the place. Mm-hmm. And in there is pretty much someone from every walk of life.
Yeah. And Emilio Estevez.
And Emilio Estevez. We have to address this now because it's going to come up a lot. I think the alternate title of this movie should be... Because Stephen King has admitted that he wrote and directed this movie while coked up out of his mind. And I don't want
to... That's a direct quote.
I'm not...
I was coked up out of my mind. Yes.
I'm not saying anything out of school. I'm not alleging anything he hasn't said himself. What I'm about to say is that I am not an expert, and I'm not accusing Emilio Estevez of anything, but boy are his eyes bloodshot at alternating points of this movie, which is a telltale sign of certain drug use. So, Emilio may or may not have been really, really, really high on cocaine.
Well,
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Papers from Emilio's lawyers now.
They are. Like, shut down that podcast. Emilio spends all of his time Googling himself.
You said it like Nixon.
Hey, I heard this podcast. They talked about me and Maximum Overdrive. Shut it down. Shut them down. Charlie Sheen's in the background, like, what are they talking about? It runs in the family.
I forgot they were related.
Yeah.
Oh, because well, he used...
They like to change their name. Because
Charlie Sheen used Carlos Estevez for the Blade Machete movie.
Yes, he did.
He was Carlos Estevez.
Yeah. But that was, that was them being a little bit silly. But anyway, we get to the thing, and in the Dixie Boy, we just get immediate carnage from all of the apparatuses.
Well, no, first we get the plot that he is a down on his luck guy. He's
a
convict.
He's an ex-con.
He's got to work here.
Yeah, he gets that extra issue.
He's got the star in his time card. Means he's a con.
Yeah.
And apparently everyone else who worked there is also a con.
Some guys even have multiple stars.
Yeah.
It was a straight up Grand Theft Auto thing. Yeah. It's like, well, this guy, Emilio, he got caught stealing. That's one star. That guy's got two stars. We don't know what he did.
He probably killed somebody.
He could have been. But that seems like a 4 or 5 star issue. But the other thing that I thought was really messed up about that is apparently, like, there's some employees who aren't ex-cons and some who are, but they don't. The ex-cons don't get to choose whether or not to disclose that information because their boss just makes it public knowledge.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Yep.
We're all going to be informed of our colleagues' shady and checkered past. But then the shit hits the fan pretty much exactly after that.
The turkey carver.
What's that one?
The turkey carver?
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. And we get the first instance of the shitty psycho screech.
Oh, God.
I'll try to drop it, pull it from the internet and drop it in here later, but it's really like the shitty version of that, like,
Which they use like twice in the beginning, but then you never hear it again the rest of the
movie. It pops up a bunch.
Really?
It hides in the music sometimes.
In Psycho,
it's a violin, so there's like a classy element to it, and here I'm pretty sure it's like a synthesizer or like a melodica.
Yes.
They can only afford a recorder.
Because they spent all the rest of the money on having AC/DC write an entire album to be the soundtrack for this movie, so they couldn't afford any other music. And yes, a lot of money on cocaine.
Most of the budget was cocaine.
You pointed this out. This whole movie is about cars, generally about cars that come to life, other things too. AC/DC does the soundtrack, Highway to Hell, not on it.
No
Highway to Hell whatsoever.
Was Highway to Hell before this movie?
Absolutely. Way before.
They probably just couldn't afford it. Too much cocaine.
The cocaine budget on this movie has to be one of the highest cocaine budgets in the history of film.
And according to IMDb, AC/DC is in the movie. Remember the boat that goes under the bridge in the beginning? A little speed boat?
Yeah, I saw that boat.
AC/DC apparently was on that boat.
They weren't
supposed to be in the movie. They just happened to be passing on the boat. Like, what
are
you guys doing?
There, though.
They shoot that boat from about a quarter of a mile away. So you could have no possible way of knowing that information. It literally could have been anybody. So why that seems, if you're going to put them in the movie, why not put them in the movie?
You can't afford to have their image in the movie.
Their likeness.
Their fee is so much higher for that. But then we go to the baseball field, which I really dug. We had the insane Coke machine sequence.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
That was a classic.
Yes. You haven't lived until you've seen a field full of baseball playing 10 to 15-year-old boys. I don't know how old they were exactly.
Well, the guy was 13, so 10 to 15 is probably 13, right.
Yeah. Getting shot at by a Coke machine.
And I still, given Stephen King's state during the film, I still maintain that he did not tell those kids what was going to happen.
He's just pulling them out of the cooler and shutting them out.
It's just a line of PAs holding cans behind their back. And they're like, kids, look bewildered. No, go!
What happened to all the soda at craft services? Stephen, we had to shoot the scene with the Coke machine today. What Coke machine? I haven't heard anything about a Coke machine. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. So that's kind of where I'm wondering.
Steamroller comes out of nowhere.
Yes.
Crashes.
Wait, the kid is wheeling across the field and flips off his bike, but the bike's not possessed by anything. He just can't ride a bike.
He's a very
14-year-old boy with no athleticism. It's me on a bike. And then a steamroller crashes through the scoreboard and kills him.
Pops him like a tube of toothpaste.
Yeah.
just a disgusting, disgusting mess. But the other kid, whose name I legitimately don't...
Deke is the boy's name.
I don't think you actually learn that until when the movie's almost over, he meets Emilio.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's just referred to as...
It's like the third act.
The boy.
Yeah. So-and-so's boy. But he puts on the catcher's mitt, or mask rather, to try to get to the adult who got first killed by the soda cans. And the soda cans are pelting him in the face. So someone's job on this movie was to throw soda cans, whether real or fake, at the face of this actor. This kid first just movie. Gets pelted. Yeah.
First movie.
His first movie is
first
tippy
head in action here.
Yeah. Just bang, 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 right off his face.
And he didn't put it on. He's holding it.
Right.
Yeah, so it's his hand in the direct line of fire.
His hand gets hit more than once. He just gets pelted in the face with soda cans.
Tippy Hedren.
Exactly. I think you called it, this movie's like the darkest timeline version of Toy Story.
Yeah, it's like Toy Story gone horribly wrong.
Right.
Or Cars, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a little more like Cars. Like, this is how Cars started.
this is
like
a prequel to Cars.
Thing,
yeah.
Prequel to Cars.
I think, actually, the real truth is that Steve Jobs just loved this movie and based the early Pixar catalog. Yeah, he's the Hill Farm Pixar.
Oh. I didn't know that.
I guess we're teaching you things today on the podcast.
Golden Girls from me and Pixar from you.
So, I guess they just based the entire early Pixar catalog on just like, oh, we're going to do Maximum Overdrive over and over and over again. So,
less cocaine in this one.
Yeah.
Let's keep that low.
Slightly less. Slightly less. The question I had, you guys were talking about the AC/DC soundtrack, which I kind of dig because I really like AC/DC, or used to anyway, but... Do you think this movie's dumb on purpose?
What do you mean? Like,
is it like, because the movie to me is very watchable in this sort of campy, absurd way, and is fun. And even like when I was little, I felt that, like, you know, 15 years ago watching this. Do you think that's on purpose, or do you think it's just pure dumb luck?
I think it's dumb luck. I don't think there's anything. If anything that Stephen King accomplished with this film, it's dumb luck.
Okay, because I think there's an element of like perfect camp here.
There is some camp, especially in the scene where the guy gets hit in the nuts with the can.
Right.
Like, that, like, that's legitimately real campy. And I think ACD makes it more campy. Like, I think that's what pushes it over the edge into, like, this is absurd. Why? What is... this is just ridiculous.
And it does go... Like, AC/DC varies from being the soundtrack to diegetic. Like, in the scene, like, someone turns on a juice box. They turn on a juice box. And the jukebox starts playing AC/DC. So AC/DC is all over
the
movie.
All the jukebox ever I'll plays help. In the film.
Yes.
I can help the cause, too.
And he blows up.
Damn it.
We didn't talk about the free money and cigarettes scene.
Oh, great.
In the Dixie Boy.
In the game room.
Right.
Right.
It has a very stocked arcade movie. No kicking the games, no alcohol.
Two rules.
Seem like good rules for an arcade at a truck stop, I have to say.
Probably.
Truckers are pretty big people. They could really do some damage to games if they're just willy-nilly kicking them.
But it doesn't say don't take things that come out of the games.
It's true.
It wasn't really a game. It's a cigarette machine.
Yes. I know you haven't ever seen one, but a cigarette machine is not like a claw machine.
I have seen one. There's one in Westchester.
Okay.
One.
Well, it's not a claw machine. It's a vending machine for cigarettes. It's not like you put a quarter in and you win. You put the quarters
that would
make
in. So much
really
better,
angry smokers.
You're so much better.
Damn it.
They're all wedged in there.
But this poor guy who looks like a young Mos Def fills his jacket with cigarettes.
Well, the machine first just starts spitting out cigarettes and money. And
right.
That's violent and somehow helping the machine's cause. Like, I'll get them by spitting out
I'll
cash.
I'll get them this time.
It was the really slow plan. He wanted him to smoke and get lung cancer. Yeah. He would eventually get him.
It's basically like hitting the jackpot, though.
Yes.
There's a lot of cash and cigarettes flowing out of this machine.
But he puts it on and he's suddenly, I don't know how many packs of cigarettes are in this machine, but he goes from being a guy in a jacket to the Michelin man.
Yeah, he does.
It's 27 cartons of cigarettes.
I haven't figured out what his plan was. Just like casually walk out of there, the game room, walk through the diner full of people and just be like, nothing to see here.
With his pockets jingling full
Everything
of quarters.
Is puffy.
Yeah. He had him stuck up
a
his
cup
hat.
Of coffee in his shirt.
Yes, he does
yeah,
take
I,
a cup of coffee that the machine was also spitting out.
Yeah. It was filling a cup of coffee and then shooting it out of the machine, which seemed like a really fun thing
Did
to engineer.
Have a little kick out?
Well, in real, like
I've
as a function
seen...
of that machine?
Yeah.
No. What would the purpose of that be?
I don't know.
I've never... coffee on you.
Here's a cup of hot coffee. Try to catch it as this machine launches it at your crotch.
Well, I was thinking everything else had a fairly practical, like, this machine could over, like, it could shoot something out theoretically because that is the function of the machine to shoot out a soda can just gently.
They don't shoot, it just drops by gravity into the bottom.
I don't know how old the soda machines work.
Soda machines used to just pelt you with cans on a regular basis.
Time out. Did you actually think that there was an era where soda cans came out of the machine with some level of force?
No, but I'm thinking the machine's got to be able to, like, There's got to be some kind of a motor in the machine that would have been able to power up.
No, and it pushes it. A soda into a chute and it falls. That's why they're always all fizzy when they open them, because they fall.
I don't drink soda anymore.
You've used a soda machine in your life, though.
Yeah, but see,
but they're real fancy now. Legitimate. Now they have a little arm that like comes up and gets the soda and gently delivers it to the door. It's insane.
But you've used an old-fashioned soda machine in your life.
In my head, there's like got to be some sort of a motor in there that theoretically could have been overpowered by the machine overlords.
I think you need to see a psychiatrist. That is the thoughts of an insane person.
No, I mean... all of the things in the movie are theoretically possible. Like, based on the mechanics of the machines there, like, a push mower could run you over. A steamroller, like, could
I beg the differ, because when that car was adjusting its rearview mirrors, that was not that a mechanical rearview mirror. That was manual. You would have to reach out of the car and do that. Like, there's no way the car could do that.
Fair enough. I forgot that point.
I have a counterpoint. That is my counterpoint to your pointing out a logical issue in the film Maximum Overdrive that was made by a man who admittedly said, "I was high as a kite." Direct quote, or close enough.
Coked out of my mind.
Is that the actual quote? Coked out of my mind?
Yeah, I have it on my computer.
Okay.
It's coked out of my mind.
I believe you.
StephenKingQuotes.com.
So we also get a pretty sweet montage early in the movie of a bunch of people who've been killed on like a residential street. My favorite is the woman whose body is in the bushes and we have no idea what happened to her.
She's been dragged into the bushes.
Right. But there's no indication as to what caused her death or demise. She's just there bloodied from the waist down. It's just a pair of legs.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were talking about your favorite being the woman in the second story window.
Yeah. In my head, cause I've seen this movie years ago with you, and in my head, she was like actually hanging out her whole body was out the window wrapped with a cord around her neck, but she was just slumped because apparently everyone who dies has to go out the window.
If you die, you have to launch yourself halfway out the window. Whether you're in
a car or a house, find a window.
It's true. Everybody who dies in a car dies hanging out the side window.
I guess in that universe, and I would just never go to windows. Then you can't die. You're not near a window.
Forever.
You just like lock the window as your hairdryer is strangling you. You're like, you won't kill me.
I was surprised we didn't get anything like in a house where like someone got, you know, their hand stuck in a toaster and electrocuted, or someone with like a hairdryer in the bathtub or anything like that.
Or a garbage disposal.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised that at like the truck stop restaurant, the only machine to really show any viciousness in the kitchen was that turkey carver.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everything else was just like, okay.
Yeah, and I'm still pretty sure that she leaned her hand on that grill.
The grill appeared hot enough to be cooking the eggs, though.
I know. That's what I'm confused about.
It might have. There must have been a lip or something, because she was cracking eggs that were actively cooking, and it's not like they would rig up some sort of blower to make it look like the egg. Like, that's just 10 times as much work. So she must have not actually touched the grill, although it certainly did look like she put her arm directly on a griddle.
It might have been the grease catch.
Yeah, that could have been it.
That little lippy thing.
But yeah, it is weird that nothing in there tries to kill him except the jukebox explodes and the video games explode.
Yeah, but there's a million other machines in that restaurant. Like the ceiling fans? Come on.
I was waiting for a ceiling fan. Yeah. Like, boom.
Or even a light to just blow up on somebody, you know, rain glass all over them. There's, I mean, literally a million different electrical and mechanical appliances at a restaurant that could have gone wrong, and we didn't get to see any of that.
Mm-mm.
What we did get was an endless parade of trucks driving in circles around the restaurant.
For days.
Just endless circling the wagons around this restaurant.
Stephen King just ripped a hole in the ozone layer and signed it.
He did.
That's his next monster.
The ozone
layer. The hole in the ozone layer.
It comes down to Earth. It comes after them.
Does it glow green? Is that what it does?
It gets teeth and starts to come. It gets teeth and starts to come after people. Only planes that can fly near it.
It's like Langoliers.
Yeah, it's like Langoliers.
I think he also has sort of the I don't know if he had a sort of Stevie Nicks cocaine problem where he wore away his
I'm
nose.
I'm guessing he did.
But he definitely Stevie Nicks'd the ozone layer.
Yeah.
With his massive, massive, massive.
Is Earth the cocaine addict here?
Earth is the addict, and diesel fumes is the cocaine.
Diesel is the drug, because we have Emilio's little thing about the best juice on the East Coast. That was
it was practically
like, tell
uncut.
You boys.
I think that was just real life bleeding into the script where he was like, it's like, it's like the trucks need their fuel just like Steve needs his go-go juice. My powder keeps me going, baby. Just like the
Was
diesel.
He married at this point? Has he?
Yeah. I think he was married for a long time.
Okay. Tabitha King is his wife.
Yeah, for a long time, though. Yeah, he was definitely married and having kids when
this was happening.
Well, like, I remember reading, I'm a big fan, but I remember reading about him when he was writing the Tommyknockers, that he wrote that whole book in a week. He didn't sleep. He was just on cocaine. And he had to start his
like
nose.
Robin Williams in Aladdin.
Yes. But his nose was bleeding so much that he was bleeding onto his typewriter. So he had to shove paper towels or something, napkins, something up his nose.
Tampons.
Whatever he had available. But he wrote that book with stuff shoved up his nose because it would just saturate with blood and he'd have to switch them out. And he was just there typing away with blood just running out of his nose.
Meanwhile, his family's crying in the other room. Like, please, Steven, go to bed.
Steven, what is
this?
Where's daddy?
Like,
don't ask.
The Shining.
Don't ask.
No, it is The Shining.
Well, art does imitate life sometimes.
After he was done that, he's like, what would have happened if I had gone crazy? I got the next book. Slam the door shut again. The end, question mark.
I have not read the Tommyknockers, but I do know of it only because of the cocaine. The other, the ringleader of the Circle of Trucks, though, is the one that is...
The Green Goblin.
Yeah. Just straight up Marvel's the Green Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he paid for that.
No, hell no.
We have to describe the truck, because it's not just... It's
like the Happy Fun Time?
Yeah, it's Happy Fun Time, but it has like a giant plastic face on the front. So
and
it doesn't
a clown
even look
face
like
on
a
the back.
Truck. It just looks like a giant, scary... Green Goblin face.
It looks like something you see in a parade.
Whose eyes light up in addition to its headlights.
Which
I don't think that was...
I think it's supposed to be like magical and not part of the rigging of the truck.
It doesn't seem up to code.
Well, you don't think they could have extra lights? You think that was the magic of the green ooze?
I think so.
I think the way it was like put into the film makes it look like the green ooze. Because like the red isn't actually in the headlights of the truck a lot.
Yeah,
it's put
white.
Over the film afterwards.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's like a special effect edition.
Because it had headlights, I think.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
definitely
it had
headlights. I thought it was just like secondary lighting on this truck.
I don't think so.
You think it was magic?
I think it was the magic.
Mm. I would not have pegged it as magic, but I think I'll give it to you, I guess. But this is, of being North Carolina, the owner of this truck stop has a just insane stockpile of weapons in the basement.
It's like Tremors.
Yeah.
If anyone's familiar with that film.
But the way we learn of this stockpile is not him being like, hey, I got some weapons in the truck.
Right.
They go to rescue Lisa Simpson and her husband.
Who have shown up and tried to like shoot through a gap between the circling trucks.
Wait, aren't humans the worst?
Yeah, it should have been so much better if they pretended to be involved with the machines.
The dead. They tuck under the car. They're
just going to drive in circles.
She's got the steering wheel. He's got the pedals.
Down with the squishy ones.
Aren't humans terrible?
Machines forever. Metal is better.
So they Emilio Estevez and whoever the forgettable love interest is go and collect Lisa Simpson and her husband, and they're on their way back in like a Wizard of Oz line, and all of a sudden the owner of the truck stop pulls out a bazooka. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a bazooka.
Okay, and just fires. Doesn't say get down. Doesn't say look out. Just fires at them. They all have to like jump to the ground as it rockets through them.
And blows up one of the 400 trucks that have all decided to circle around this one truck stop, which is apparently the only place that
people
they care
exist.
About. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
And we're also introduced at that point to Chekhov's straight razor when generic love interest number one has it, cuts it the seatbelt that Lisa Simpson is stuck by and then sticks it back in her boot.
Oh, I didn't realize what that's
said. Stay tuned.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay tuned because that knife is coming back. They make a real serious point of lingering on her, sliding it into her boot, and it comes back.
I also, in my head, replaced these people in this movie with other people, and a generic love interest became Jennifer, I want to say, from Flashdance.
Yeah, because she's got the pink crop top.
The crop top and the boots.
And the big big poofy hair.
And the big ass hair.
That leads us into a really, really, really long scene of pooping.
Oh, that was awkward.
Forgot about that.
The poop scene?
Block that one out already.
It was the interrogation scene.
Yeah.
But it's like Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel, who's like the lackey of the guy who owns this thing.
Lights his cigars for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's your standard secondhand lackey, you know, put-upon guy. But instead of just having this conversation in a bathroom, which is fine. Like, I wouldn't do that in my movie. But if you want to set a scene in a bathroom, you can. What you don't need to do when you set a scene in the bathroom is add the sounds of poop splashing into a bowl.
No, not at all.
Or, like, Emilio walks in, drops his fly, and pees, and it's like a loud, audible pee. Then he zips up, washes his hands, and starts talking to this guy while he's pooping, and it's just constant bowl splash noises.
And even there's flatulence as well. Yeah,
and then he goes leans over the top of the stall.
Yeah, and then looks down at the guy.
He gives him a little peek in, like, hey, buddy, what's down in that basement? I hear there's lots of weapons down there. Plop, splash. There's like four or five distinct different poop noises that are made.
It's like an Adam Sandler movie up in here.
Right. It's like a children's dumb comedy. And we're taking this movie very... If you're going to take this movie seriously...
But you should not.
No.
Step one, don't. Step two, cocaine.
Step three, profit. Step three,
profit. Cards Against Humanity.
But this is not the type of movie that you need distinct, different poop sounds. not just one poop splash, but several unique poop splashes. They had to go, someone at a special effects house, or a Foley house rather, an audio house.
Oh, don't say it's Foley.
It was absolutely Foley. There's no way he actually was pooping.
I know that, but the idea that it's Foley means someone had to, like,
Mark,
experiment.
We're going to go to this scene right now. Get in the toilet.
Someone at a Foley house had to get a bucket of water or a toilet and a microphone and drop different things into it to get the right poop sounds. Send them to Stephen King, who then had to approve the poop sounds and put them into this movie.
And they probably bypassed him at that point.
Don't bother.
It doesn't matter. Fuck it.
You think it was like a vindictive editor that stuck the poop in unbeknownst to
Stephen?
If everything has to go through Stephen, this movie is not going to get made. And we all want this to be over.
But at that point, wouldn't you just skip the poop then?
No,
wouldn't you just be like, we don't need to put the poop in if we're going to go back round, we're going to end around to skip Steve. We don't need to put in five different poop plops.
There are probably 10 in the script.
This was the compromise.
Look, Steven, we don't need 10. How about 4 or 5?
Just a couple of poop plops?
Just a few.
Can we cut it down to one plop?
Do we need any? Yeah.
Make it real.
Eyes bright and wide.
I said 5. Plops. 5. Foley it! And this is an era pre-internet, so someone had to record them onto something that he could listen to. They had to record them on high quality tape for the film, and then tape it, and then mail him a tape in North Carolina, and then he had to sit in a trailer with a tape recorder and listen to poop plops. These are real things that happened to this movie. I'm not making jokes. I'm stating facts. Someone had to listen to poop sounds and approve them for this movie.
Someone also lost their eye on this movie. So it runs the gamut.
I was just gonna get to that.
It like runs the gamut of like something like
that.
Silly and like kind of serious.
There was a scene. I don't remember
the lawnmower scene.
Yeah, lawnmower didn't move. That or did I get up during that?
No, it did. Remember, it followed the kid, and we said its blades were going to destroy it. Yeah.
Okay, well, you haven't heard this yet. He read it on the Wikipedia, as did I. The lawnmower ran over a piece of wood and sprayed splinters of wood everywhere, and it struck somebody in the eye, and they were blinded, and they lost their right eye.
Oh my god!
And then
not
he sued Stephen
it.
King.
Well, you should.
Yeah,
yeah, for a lot of money, apparently. Yeah, ooh. Out of court settlement. But he sued. I mean, to be fair, the guy lost an eye. I don't want to make jokes about it, but it's just insane that this movie, the safety, we'll be fine.
It was the 80s.
A piece of wood in the way. What? Just leave it.
Yeah.
No, the wood was, it was supposed to be there. It was like, it was propping something up for like the effect, or like it was a camera something. And
it,
just,
it wasn't even for like an important scene.
It wasn't at all important.
Yeah, it was a complete throwaway. They also almost had somebody actually die. There's a scene where
the ice cream truck
flips over.
Well, who knows
that
how many
goes without saying. Stephen King had just carried around a Chewbacca belt of those adrenaline needles from from Pulp Fiction, and from time to time somebody just had to give him the old thump into the heart.
He also had a camel, either like the beer hat or the camelback of cocaine, and it was just put it down as he's directing.
I thought you were going to say he like mixed it into some sort of liquid. It was just drinking cocaine. I don't know if that would work. It seems like a waste of cocaine.
I don't know anything about drugs. Can't you heat up cocaine and shoot it?
Yes.
You can shoot it, yeah.
Then maybe he just had the liquid for him and he had an IV that he would just jab in out again.
He has some sort of elaborate contraption that's constantly heating the cocaine into the proper liquid temperature so he can have a drip of it.
Yes.
That seems like a lot of it.
Between poop sound listening. And blinding people.
And it wasn't even like the cocaine was him coping with blinding someone, which at least would give him a little bit of slack. Like, the guy got blinded and Stephen King was a cokehead. It was not, it was
too unrelated.
Mutually exclusive. No overlap. I lost the thing.
Someone almost died?
Yes, yes. Oh, thank you. I was going to say, I was ice just talking truck. About something. So the ice cream truck flips up a lot like a shitty version of the scene in The Dark Knight when the 18-wheeler flips over. And when the ice cream truck died, they used a big piece of telephone pole to make it flip. And that somehow got shifted the truck around and it kind of turned. And there was a cameraman, like, shooting it. Mm-hmm. And the guy who did the dolly grip, he literally yanked the guy out of the way. And had he not done that, he would have killed him.
Oh, my God.
The truck would have just landed. The guy was still shooting.
Yeah.
I mean, dedication to his craft. Yeah. I got it, Steve. I got it. Steve's in the back. Don't move. No moving. It's fine. That guy's lost his eye last week, but you'll be fine. Anyway,
I still think Emilio Estevez didn't know he made this film the movie. He didn't know he was real? Filming a movie. He thought his life just got really shitty for a week.
The other thing, now this truck stop, I don't know what a truck stop really looks like from 1985. Idea. I've seen current
I don't know it from 1985, but I was in one 3 years ago. So
I mean, I've seen a truck stop. I've not seen a truck stop in 1985. But apparently the Dixie Boy was so realistic looking that truckers were like pulling off the highway and like trying to pump gas while they're filming the movie inside. And they kept having to be like, no, this is a movie set. So they had to go down the highway for miles and put like, the Dixie Boy is not a truck stop. Keep moving. Don't stop there. Guys were like walking in, parking their big rigs, walking in and trying to order food from the diner. Yeah. And
should have just done it and made it a little extra money.
Well, someone bought the Dixie Boy and turned it into an actual functioning truck stop.
How?
I
at destroyed the end of that it. Movie, there they is no
it. I know. That's what I was wondering.
Did they buy it like mid-filming? Like, this place always right here. And Stephen King sold it to him
for a pile of cocaine.
Sure. Yeah. Fine. 50K. That sounds great. Mike, get my coke guy on the line. And then they show up at the end of the day. He's like, here's the keys. Fuck yourself.
Keys to what?
I'm going back to Maine with this pile of coke.
One of the big rigs was full of coke, just for Steven.
It was actually...
It's a liquid oxygen one.
Yeah, the liquid nitrogen one, yeah.
If you chiseled out the Green Goblin, inside he was just full of cocaine.
You hit it with a hammer.
Exactly. Cracked off a little bit, and you went to town. My favorite line of the movie comes after Emilio Estevez and generic love interest number one have an inexplicable sex scene. Like, they've known each other for all of 14 minutes at this point in the movie.
Yeah, maybe a couple hours.
I'll be sure. Benefit of the doubt. A couple hours.
Okay, a couple of hours. But they didn't even have, like, your standard movie, like, oh, like, we just, our lives were almost ended, and we were like, oh, that was, like, we made it, like, we're safe, and blah, blah, blah.
Actually, it was chained in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she was like, the second they meet, she says something about him being really hot.
Yeah.
And then it was just like,
oh she's down.
She's
into it.
She's DTF.
She is into it. She sees those cocaine pupils and she is like, your eyes are the size of a dinner plate. I want that all up on me. I want some of that.
So she can get to dancing school.
So
she can go to dancing school.
And he invites her back to his twin bed sized cot and they get it on and she says, you sure do make love like a hero.
I also like later when she says, if only the world didn't go into maximum overdrive.
she said it the title of the movie.
Everybody do shots.
So what's the weird thing with her calling him a hero? Because like, what, why?
Because he's a convict. He can't be a hero. What? Society says he can't.
The whole thing is that he needs to be
redeemed.
Like, yeah, he has
redemption.
His...
this whole thing is weirdly merely
because
less than
I
a redemption
kind of believe
story.
His boss that he is just a shit. And I'm going to side with the asshole.
I mean, I don't.
Who also played Commissioner Gordon in the first four Batman movies?
The Tim Burton ones.
Yeah.
Nice.
The asshole owner of the truck stop played Commissioner Gordon in the first four Batman movies of the 80s and 90s.
I don't recall what he says his crime was. Like, there's a long speech.
He stole something. He stole money from somewhere.
Thieving or something.
But he got caught and was talking about...
I didn't run away because I'm honest or something. I didn't get it.
It doesn't really explain it very well.
No, not at all.
But he is a recently paroled guy. And I guess when he gave us the long speech in the beginning about what the hell he's doing in this movie, it was that, like, this is his first day on the job. You got nowhere to go. But I don't recall what the crime was.
Work for 9 hours. But clock in for eight something.
So oh, yeah. He wanted him to steal time. That makes sense.
The boss wanted him to work longer and not get paid.
That does make sense. But the hero thing is that, like, this is ultimately his redemption story, obviously. Like, we're watching Emilio go from zero to hero because he was a parolee? I almost said payrollee.
A payroll.
A payroll officer?
A payroll officer?
He was a payroll officer.
Parolee, I think.
Parolee.
Pierogi.
Pierogi.
He was a pierogi.
Pied Piper of Peter Pan.
He was
pickle
a
pickle, pickle peppers.
He's a pierogi. let's go with pierogi.
He's a recent pierogi.
Recently pierogued.
He's recently pieroged. He was stuffed full of mashed potatoes.
And some cheese.
Boiled and then sautéed with onions. But in any case, she tells him he makes love like a hero, which is my new favorite line.
And then he says the title of the
and
movie.
And then he turns his head and gazes into the distance.
Into the ooze.
Where we see, exactly, the ooze for the first time. The sky is just full of the green ooze from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle films, which is the weirdest. It's like a shitty Aurora Borealis.
It's
very bad.
But all green in one tone of green.
Yes. Right. No shading, no texture.
I mean, surrounding the whole Earth. Mm-hmm. I hope we, like...
Yeah. That's right. We didn't address that. The beginning of the movie starts with saying that a comet or meteor has passed Earth, and Earth is in the tail of this comet, which is green, and that's what's causing the problems.
Were you a...
Well, we're not there yet. Don't spoil. We're not there yet.
Surprising.
We're not even 45 minutes into this movie. We have a long way to go and a short time to get there.
This movie.
Oh, spoil... But spoil at the appropriate time is what I'm saying. We're on a long journey to get to the end of this film because there's many things we have to go for. Another great line in this, it'll be our world again tomorrow, maybe. And Emilio says, was it ever? He's so deep. He's so, so thoughtful.
You keep calling him college boy.
Yeah, that's true. He's the only
person. Although he never went to college, apparently.
Oh, I thought he did go to college.
He didn't go to college. Or wait.
Oh, I thought he was calling college boy is like a thing. Like, huh, you're not that smart.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, I thought he was college boy because he went to college and he like screwed up at the penitentiary.
The what now?
He screwed up.
Do you want to take two?
Yeah. I'm going to try that again. I swear I haven't been drinking. He screwed up and got arrested and at the penitentiary.
He did. Penitentiary.
But that's the problem. The penitentiary doesn't belong in the sentence I'm trying to say. I'm an idiot. What? I'm trying to say he got arrested and sent to jail. That's what I'm trying to say.
Penitentiary can be.
I just kept saying he got arrested at the penitentiary, which is not true.
He did get it because no such thing as a penitentiary. Just stop when you want to say that word and point to me, and I'll say it for you.
Your problem with this sentence is not our problem with this sentence.
I know. I'm saying the word wrong. I acknowledge your statement, but I'm also putting the word where it doesn't... I'm saying the equivalent of Emilio Estevez got arrested at the jail and went to jail. That's not what happened. He got arrested somewhere and sent to jail. He got arrested and sent to the penitentiary. Damn it! I was so close!
Point
to
me.
So close!
I'll dub for you.
I was so close!
I'll dub for you.
I was right there!
I'll dub for you. Just point to me.
Let's try it one more time. Emilio Estevez has been recently paroled from the state penitentiary.
Penitentiary is the more accepted pronunciation.
Son of a bitch.
But we'll take I'll take that more than.
Penitentiary.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Is that it?
Sorry,
did I get it?
You just couldn't say it.
I couldn't say it.
Penitentiary.
My brain...
You stroked out
for me. I did. Penitentiary.
Penitentiary.
This is important for me to say this. Your father went to the penitentiary.
But the real thing that we have just at least found is that we've got the title of this podcast, Penitentiary.
I'm not going to spell that.
Penitentiary.
It's the penitentiary.
Maximum Overdrive, the penitentiary.
Yes.
Penitentiary.
Yeah, you got it.
At this point, the young boy who we saw earlier with the baseball, we have learned that he is the son of somebody.
A dead guy.
Yeah, who died very early in the movie.
Yes.
Very, very early.
Yeah, because apparently no one in this movie can hear the big rigs.
They're silent. They're like big rig Priuses.
It's like the Prius. The Prius is silent under 5 miles an hour.
But if they were hybrids, they wouldn't need all the fuel.
That's what I think. I wanted the hybrid car to be driving around all the big rigs getting fueled. I'm like, fuck you. You all laughed at me.
So as we're watching this movie, the logical statement comes up that's like, oh, these cars keep driving. At some point, they're going to run out of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in luck.
They are in luck. And that Stephen King was like, someone's going to be curious about this. Got to find a solution.
I imagine it was his wife who was like who reads the script at the end of every day and is like, I like it, honey. I do. But like, what happens when they run out of gas?
And she's hoping that he'll go, oh shit, this is a stupid idea, and put it away in a drawer. Yeah. And no, that is not what happens.
I'm going to counter that and say that's happened a lot of times. These are the ones that got through.
These are the other ideas that got shot down. They
okay,
run on human blood.
This one go, I guess.
They run on human blood.
That's a different movie. It's called Blood Car. Don't watch it. I've seen it. It is not worth your time.
So at this point, the little boy has gotten into the diner.
Well, you're skipping the best part. The boy is trying to get to the diner.
Oh.
And so Stephen King is really infatuated with people having to crawl through poop water.
Yeah, he is.
It's his favorite plot device. Like, God, I can't figure out how to get this character from here to there. Poop water!
Pennywise the Clown.
Poop water.
Andy Dufresne.
Poop water.
This boy.
Poop water. The sounds in the bathroom. Poop water. He's obsessed. He's absolutely obsessed with poo.
I think
poo.
That's the new title. Poop water. Poop water. The Maximum Overdrive story.
Is that the documentary about the making of this film?
Colon, how we ruined the
Colon.
Earth. Colon. I was just saying.
Colon. So they run out of gas, at which point they call the cavalry.
Which is a caterpillar bulldozer.
Well, first they make a truce with the humans.
No, this comes. The truce comes.
The
after.
Cavalry arrives, and then that happens.
It's the saddest looking machine gun you've ever seen. Just.
It's a machine gun on a stick.
It's more like a flat bed that looks like it escaped from an army base.
Yeah.
It's like a little fence, a little steering wheel. Yeah.
It's a flat piece of wood with four wheels on the bottom and a steering
and
wheel.
A pole.
No seat for the driver.
No. Because you stand and I guess you shoot the gun.
But someone has to drive the car. There's no seat for the guy with the wheel.
The wheel is so high, I think you just stand.
Oh, no, like bend over?
Fire. That is horrible.
It's not well designed by any means.
And it's got
I thought the guy was like sitting
stick.
On the front of the wood like and
style?
And he's holding the and everyone else is like crouched shooting as the guy in the turret shoots. It's the army equivalent, like if a tank is a train, this is the guys who are on the railroad
car
pumping up and down to move. This is that equivalent to a tank.
Also a fun arcade game.
And a caterpillar bulldozer.
Yeah.
Yes.
As well.
It shoots a bunch of people. At this point, the little boy is in the diner, cleaned up, and
been told that his father is dead.
Oh, yeah. Cried, hugged Emilio Estevez really creepily.
Yeah. More like a wrestling hole?
Gave him the cross-face chicken wing. Let's just call it what it is. Emilio put the kid in a cross-face chicken wing as a way of consoling him. Mm-hmm. Not my choice, but again, I'm not on cocaine.
And so the little flatbed starts beeping its horn, like in a way, like it's
a bulletin. It's a bulletin.
The news bulletin. The news bulletin.
Yes.
And
of course, the little kid pipes up
with the line you wrote in the movie.
Yeah, I was like
the prophecy. Though.
No, I have seen this movie before, so it's possible that I recall this from some deep recess of the gray matter. But I mostly said no. The kid's got to be there because he knows Morse code because he's a Boy Scout. Which, of course, is the exact line that comes out of his mouth.
I got a merit badge for it.
somebody give me a pen.
So I said, someone grab me a pen and paper. I'll get this down.
And immediately he
flips over a menu. Someone give me a pen.
And he starts decoding the Morse code message.
It still bothers me that everyone always knows exactly where to start writing the message so that it reads fully and not like it's not like a random middle of a word where they start writing
it down.
When
you learn Morse code, you'll know the secrets.
Yeah, I learned the magic of Morse code through the Boy Scouts.
But like this is the way Morse code works. You just type the same message again and again. So say you're taking the message down, right? Yeah. And my message is, come out and pump the gas, we won't kill you. Mm-hmm. Come out and pump the gas, we won't kill you.
But no, your message is COMEOUTAND. So where does he know where to start writing the
because
letters?
Because you go like, SOS is dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. And then you pause so you know when the gaps between the words are.
Even still, I think I would like to see a movie where someone starts writing and goes, I like has to write the whole message a couple times. Like, okay, this is where it makes sense.
Yeah, well, you write like the last third and then you pick it up again in the beginning.
Right, but what he's saying is that on the placemat, the kid
started on the word someone.
The
every time anyone reads Morse code, they always start at the exact beginning of the message.
Well, look, he has really good timing. I don't think you can fault the kid for being good at Morse code. He has a merit badge in it. Did you miss the part where he has a merit badge?
I can fault the kid, though, for being actually not the worst. Not the worst character in the movie, surprisingly. That might be Lisa Simpson.
Oh, she is by far the worst character in the movie. Mm-hmm. I would have killed her. I would have made it look like an accident, but I would have killed her.
I was surprised she was still married at the end. I thought that would have dissolved.
Yeah, the dude's hanging tough. Yeah. He's wearing trucker hats backwards and pumping gas.
She's still got her heels on after 4 days.
Yeah, she's rocking them heels still.
And it's just constantly bitching about everything that has to be done.
Like, I would too. In this situation, everything sucks.
Yeah, but everything sucks for everybody. So you're just making it worse. It's not like everything sucks for her and everyone else is sleeping in like fine linens and drinking champagne. Everyone is laying in broken glass and trying to sleep while a machine gun sits outside. It's not good for anybody. You're just lowering the morale. So they have to go pump the gas.
Yeah.
Which leads to our next plot problem of...
What happens when the thing runs out of gas?
Yeah. The station runs out of gas.
And we find out that the trucks have a specific response to this, which is to bleat their horns like a pack of wild animals.
But also,
no, they bring in.
They do. There's like a whole truck there.
They bring
full
the gas guy.
Right, but the gas guy knows. Like, there's a call of the gas guy before that, where it's like,
like the twilight, the twilight bark from 101 Dalmatians.
Yes. When Emilio comes out and he's like, "We're out of gas." The truck is
already
right
there.
There.
right there, ready to go.
Yeah, he pulls up and he's like, "No, buddy, let me nudge you slowly."
Right. Getting nudged by a semi just feels like not getting nudged.
It seems like a terrible place to be.
Can we just applaud the driver? Of that semi for not killing him in that scene.
To be fair, Emilio Estevez was cranked the fuck up, so he could have probably ran about Usain Bolt speed at that time. You want to talk about performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah, right.
So, the gas is cocaine, because Emilio makes that joke about 27 times.
I don't think it's a joke. I think that was
he legitimately thinks
that was not a joke.
He
referred to it as practically uncut.
That's right.
Purist stuff.
Yeah. It's legit.
So it's crude oil, is what we're saying.
Yes.
It's going to kill your engine.
It is unrefined.
It is
unrefined.
It is not what you want to put in your car.
No.
But the revealing sequence is utterly insane. It's like Stephen King is trying to address these few plot things, and by doing that, wastes 15 minutes of this movie.
I don't think you can waste anything in this movie.
I guess that leads to this question, though. Like, I think this is an enjoyable movie. I think it's fun to make fun of. I think it's a really good movie for this type of environment of heckling. It, like, there are way worse movies out. This is not a good movie.
No.
But it is a fun movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you cut the refueling scene down to a montage, you're in and out in 90 minutes.
But a montage overlapped with, like, an uplifting AC/DC song?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yes. Or Cyndi Lauper.
Or
if Goonies are good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. If you had this collapsed over a montage of Goonies are good enough, this movie immediately becomes a B+.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely a B+. So the Dixie Boy, they somehow they're like, well, Steven.
Well, we also were yet to clarify if the cars and trucks or machines could hear them. Because the idea is that they can see
it
people.
It certainly is right. Posed that they can see. They act like they can see
They
people.
Somehow can see. So they're all talking right next to them, which is kind of confusing because the direct theory is like, well, I wouldn't talk next to someone who's trying to kill me.
Yeah. No, that's insane.
But also, they talk to the vehicles. Like, they address them. Like, we're out of gas. Or, like, calm down. And then turn around and say in the same voice, we should escape.
Like, like, it's like the people haven't quite gotten the hang of what's going on here.
Even at the big final plan, he's holding a hand grenade in his pants. And he's telling the guy, he's like, now when I tell you, run. And they're literally standing
next to it.
He's touching the machine gun truck with his hand as he's saying, now when I say run, you run. And then he pulls out the pin of the grenade and drops it, and they both run and
die. No, he pushes it. He spins it in a circle.
That's right. I forgot about that. That's the best part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He spins the gun in an attempt to get it away from them, and all it does is rotate in a complete circle and be in perfect position to shoot at them.
Yes.
I've been trying to find on the Wikipedia page what the hell his crime was, and there's literally... Wookiee says, this section's plot summary may be too long or excessively detailed as of December 2013. And let me tell you, it is still excessively detailed. It's 10,000 words on the plot summary.
I'm going to say that the Wikipedia page for Maximum Overdrive is not the top Wikipedia need right now.
But
like,
it should
that's
be.
Not really what they're focusing
it
on.
It should be. So that then they...
What was
they
Amelia
escape...
Lester's crime... In Maximum Overdrive.
They escape via the poop tunnel, which makes its reappearance.
They figure out that they figure out that there's a whole like an underground tunnel in the big boy. In the Dixie Boy.
In the Dixie
that
Boy.
They can all escape from through poop.
So they go to the poop tunnel, they crawl out of the poop tunnel, and then the trucks decide at that moment, now that everyone is gone, we should destroy the Dixie Boy.
Right. So did the trucks know
no,
they were escaping?
No, I think
escaping?
They were trying to kill the humans.
Yeah, I think they were.
That was a bad joke, I guess. I'm sorry.
Did not land.
Not funny.
Not funny. But they do destroy the Dixie Boy by driving directly through it with a bunch of trucks. And then falling through to the basement just as Emilio predicted they would because they're too heavy and they'll fall right through to the basement.
And then they also explode because the liquid oxygen truck decided to ram itself into the building.
There are really good explosions in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I will say
that.
Can
we talk about the truck that goes over the edge of the highway and explodes before... It hits the ground?
Yes, we should talk about
mid-air
that.
Mid-air exploding.
We did not, but we should. So Lisa Simpson and Curtis, her husband, are trying to get away from this very old Mack truck, and he's like bobbing and weaving, and then
he's driving Serpentine, but no one seems to run Serpentine in this movie.
No. No, you have to run in a straight line, otherwise the trucks can't run you over.
Or you have to just stand there and stare at them.
Yeah.
Because that's another...
Mouth agape.
Exactly.
Astounding.
So he serpentines, and the truck goes over an embankment, and way before it hasn't even crested the ramp.
Yeah,
it's on fire.
You can already see it. Just... Going to pieces.
It's not just on fire. It's like billowing smoke on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Lands, rolls down the hill, and then explodes. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is clearly a mistake.
Yes.
There's absolutely no way that was intended to be the sequence. Like, okay, the truck's on fire for no discernible reason. And then it rolls down on a bike, but it explodes. Sounds good to me.
I'm sorry. I screwed up that last scene. Do you want to take it again? We have another big rig.
Check the gate. Move it on.
Cut print.
Like they had a finite number of big rigs to demolish in this, which they seem to have an infinite number.
It is
of
a finite
big rigs.
Number, and the finite number is 3,000.
Yes,
3,000 big rigs.
Except for the one that it's just the cab. It's the guy's. It's the one truck's little brother.
My mom's in a town. You have to be nice to him. He forgot his pants.
Come on, Green Goblin, don't be a jerk.
Bick, you're such an asshole.
Don't listen to them, little buddy.
You're just you're helping the cause too. We're gonna kill all the humans. That's right, buddy. We're gonna kill all the humans. You're gonna be right there with us. I see a promotion in your future to lead human killer. So they destroy the Dixie Boy, and then they decide that they need to make their way to the marina because apparently this. Affliction has not gone into boats, even though boats have motors.
Well, I think the idea was they were going to do a sailboat with no motor.
But the sailboat has a motor.
I agree.
The sailboat absolutely has
a
motor.
I agree with that fact.
But Stephen King is not a nautical man.
But
he's not a maritime master.
But even in a world where the sailboat doesn't have a motor, there's 100 other boats in the marina that don't come to life
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just sitting there.
They're all parked waiting to come to life and kill people, and they don't. And if you want to say, oh, they're tied up, they don't even, like, strain against their ropes to get out.
They also don't just untie the clearly simple knot to escape the marina.
Well, here is where the knife comes
back. That's Chekhov's knife, my friend. If there's a knife in a boot in the first act, then there's a knife coming out of a boot in act three.
For no discernible reason.
No. You think that it's going to be someone gets entangled and has to be cut free, something.
They cut the brake lines of the truck.
Yeah.
No.
Why did no one do that now that I say that out loud?
I was always amazed no one got in the cab of a truck.
To, like, try and drive it?
Well, no, because a truck can't kill you if you're in it.
Oh, it can kill itself.
That's true.
It'll kiss a telephone pole.
Yeah, it's definitely kamikaze. Because remember the pizza guy driving the love bug? His car got rammed into a tree and he fell out the driver's side window.
As you do when you die.
Exactly. But the car killed itself in order to kill the human. So that's true. The truck, I think, would have just set itself on fire.
The plane also killed itself to kill people.
There was a plane crashed nose first into a school bus, and we didn't get to see that in this movie.
Also, still completely, like, discernible as a plane and not completely charred and engulfed in flames.
No. Well, they used all of their munitions on that truck that exploded too early, so they couldn't afford to blow up the plane.
That's
the
probably the accurate reason why that happened.
But I was like, really, it doesn't even look like it was an explosion. It looks like it was gently placed inside a school bus.
Well, it was.
On the side of the road.
Somebody had to cut a hole in a school bus and drop a plane in it.
Not drop, gently placed. It was lowered by, like, pulley and crane.
It was broken a little bit.
I don't think. It not was broken a, enough for a plane crashing a out bit. Of the sky into a school bus.
So they get to the thing, and there's the final gasp, just like in Die Hard, the guy's hanging by his neck, and he comes back.
And the ice cream truck.
You get the ice cream truck, and you get the Green Goblin, mm-hmm. who both show up and have to be dispatched with. Somehow the ice cream truck gets shot with bullets and somehow does a flip and explodes.
Well, I think it's because it's lower on the totem pole of, like, the evil truck incorporated.
So
it's like the intern.
Evil, yeah, so you don't need a bazooka to kill it. It's not an 18-wheeler. You just need a bullet. It's
but how did it, it flips.
They sprayed it.
It's called movie magic.
And they hit an axle, which is a word I've heard used for cars.
New podcast. Flip. Andrew describes the workings and mechanics of motor vehicles.
Of anything. I heard
we're gonna get pictures of engines, and we're gonna point at things, and you're gonna identify them.
I'm gonna tell you what makes your car move.
Yes. So the car. What was the theory here? The car's axle.
Shot the axle.
Mm.
Okay.
And so the wheels stopped spinning, and if the back wheels, it's like when you break the front wheels of a bike and you flip over the bike.
Okay, here's a more logical theory based on the same thing you just said. One of the bullets hit the front tires, which caused the front of the car to hit the ground, and then it flipped over.
Is it riding that low to the ground?
It's an ice cream truck. It's off the ground by like 6 inches.
Oh.
The axle is the thing that makes the wheels spin.
Yeah, they're not spinning anymore. I hold strong.
You remember in the beginning where that car got stuck in the middle?
Yeah, the axle.
That was an axle.
Yeah, and
that
the axle
down
just
the hill.
Dropped
yes.
off of it. Like, it was never really attached in the first place.
So this is just a universe where axles are poorly maintained?
Yes.
Did we mention the AC/DC truck at the beginning? Because there was an AC/DC truck.
I think it was a VW bus.
It was a VW bus.
Yeah. I have mentioned it, but it looked like a really if AC/DC was like just on their feet and like a little unknown, kind of unknown band.
Right.
Like this is
traveling in the back of my guy's van.
This is the van they would use, not the van of a wildly internationally successful rock band.
Right.
Well, I thought it was more like this guy who owns his van
loves
AC/DC.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like when people used to paint the fantasy scenes on their vans.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a really big fan of AC/DC.
Okay.
And he didn't even know they were in the boat below the bridge. No idea.
He did. He was out his window taking pictures. Got the big camera on his shoulder.
No, he's got one of those snap and wind.
Oh, yeah.
I think I see Bon Scott in that one.
No, I'm picturing him with like the big boombox camera. He's like, I can't zoom.
It's got a 3 zoom. I can't see anything.
Zoom.
I paid $5,000 extra for that feature. Well, before we get to how we felt, I guess the movie ends with the UFO.
There's a UFO now.
UFO revelation.
Yes, there's text on screen as they drive away, and it says that a Russian, quote, weather satellite had lasers and nuclear weapons on it.
I like
the lasers.
To be fair.
Nuclear weapons is like, okay, clearly that's like a secret attack. lasers, laser cannons. It's just like so.
People had seen Star Wars at that point, and they were into it.
That was it. He's cash on that Star Wars money.
Yes. But so the whole movie, you're like, okay, there's a UFO, or there's a comet that caused this. And the end of the movie, they're like, it was either a comet or a UFO.
Yeah, that the Russians
that they just brought up.
Right.
They just brought up this UFO.
Yeah. Literally, the movie is ending. The credits are starting to roll moments after this. And by the way, what you thought was happening is not necessarily the answer, which is now my favorite last minute edit to a movie. Because it's like, well, the comet's dumb, Steve. What about a UFO? Okay.
Also dumb, but...
We'll do both. So he just tacks it on at the end. Instead of rewriting the beginning and saying this is all UFO, he just sticks it on at the end and is like, you guys pick one. And choose your own adventure.
And they don't say whether or not everything went back to normal at the end.
No. The survivors
are still survivors. So are they?
Who made who? Who made you?
Also, that woman wailing about we made you for 30 minutes of the movie.
He literally wrote two distinct separate scenes where a woman just sets up the possibility for the AC/DC song Who Made Who.
By screaming, we made you for 30 minutes of the movie.
That's all that is. It's just straight up, well, we have this song, so we better use it.
He's got the track list next to his typewriter.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't even think it really needed that line to have the song make sense.
No, it didn't.
It didn't. It really, like, oh, we get it. Yeah, we made machines. All right, I get that.
Cool.
I made that connection.
Counterpoint.
Was it ever our world?
So... before we get on to what we thought about this film, I think we should do some hot taglines for Maximum Overdrive.
Maximum Overdrive, the movie where Stephen King single-handedly destroyed our ozone.
Pretty good.
It had to have been at least a solid week of big rigs driving around a truck stop.
In circles.
In circles.
Yeah. It's the 80s. Like, the boss is awful.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
That has to have been... part of Al Gore is weeping. Al Gore is just weeping.
That's another hot tag tagline. Yeah. Maximum Overdrive. Al Gore's weeping.
Can we just send Al Gore's nightmare? Like, hey, Al, remember this?
That's
how
we should. They should edit the movie so it ends with him waking up in bed. He strokes his Emmy. He strokes his Emmy and goes back to bed.
He rolls over and Stephen King's next to him.
Oh my God! What is happening?
The Green Goblin face.
The actual tagline for this film, before we get to more silly ones, is Stephen King's masterpiece of terror, directed by the master himself. And the poster is Stephen King
with the marionette, right?
Yes, he's ripping through a wall,
the poster,
and he's holding a marionette thing, like the marionette controller part of the puppet, and there's a string on the Green Goblin and a string on another truck and then a string on Emilio and Generic Love Interest number one and then a couple other trucks, and he's like leering at them with a crazy beard and holding the strings.
Was this the first time he got into filmmaking or like production?
It's the first time first and only time he directed.
Okay.
He had definitely been, I think Carrie came out before this.
Carrie was the 70s.
There's movies, but then he did a bunch of miniseries he's been involved in.
He's really hit or miss with his own movies because I know he hated Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
Right.
But then there was another movie where they completely changed the ending, and he was like, I love it! This is great! It's so much better than my book!
Yeah.
And I don't remember what movie it was, but there was...
Well, the Shining, not to be super nerdy, but the Shining is more of like a mental... it's more of like a one man's mental breakdown in the movie, mm-hmm. and the book is different than that.
It's more ghosty.
Yeah, the book is real ghosty. The book is basically a modern adaptation of Mask of the Red Death by Edgar Allan Poe. So you have, he's going crazy, but he's going crazy because of a haunted house and personal demons of alcoholism, not because he's actually a crazy guy.
Right. So it's a pretty substantial change. Not that the movie, it's a great movie, but it's just a pretty substantial change that comes up there. The answer to your previous question is that Carrie, he wrote the novel for, and then Salem's Lot, The Shining, Creepshow, he wrote the screenplay for, which is actually pretty good, and perhaps possible stay tuned for future episodes of this podcast. But he had done like a dozen projects before this one.
Is Creepshow the one with the bugs in the last one?
Mm-hmm. Yes. But continuing on hot taglines, you had one that I really liked as well.
Maximum Overdrive, the destruction of one North Carolina truck stop.
I fucking hate North Carolina truck stops.
Stopped at one once. It's been angry for years.
Got lukewarm service.
the final hot tag tagline for this particular show is Maximum Overdrive. Thus concludes Hot Tag Taglines. What do you think about this movie? Is this a movie you'd recommend people watch? Is this something worth people's time? Is this something you'll watch again? Answer any one of those questions.
Yes. D all the above. I remember all the questions you threw. I will watch it again, probably, because it's fun. It's not bad and unwatchable like a lot of movies can be, but it's fun and like, if it was made now, you'd be like, oh, it knows what it is, but yeah. It clearly didn't at the time. It clearly had no idea what it was. But it's fun, and it's if you want to like drink with your friends.
It's a perfect movie for
that. Yeah.
Drink every time you go.
Yes, we do not encourage the use of cocaine.
Unless it's legal where you live.
Which is nowhere?
Where do they live?
Do you think we have a really big international audience for this podcast?
Yeah.
We are huge in Denmark. We are huge in Denmark.
We are enormous in Colombia. The listenership is so big in Colombia.
Threes of fives of people listening in Colombia.
Ones and twos of people across the world are listening to this podcast right now. There's at least one person who's not in this room recording it who's going to listen to it later.
Mom.
Hi, Mom. Since we're here, would you recommend this movie? Would you watch this movie again? Et cetera, et cetera.
What really recommends this movie is the fact that it's on Netflix right now.
It is on Netflix right now.
It's basically free.
Accessible.
Very accessible. Yes. So I feel like, again, drinking movie, I will never watch it again. I've had my one viewing. I think I'm good on that.
This wouldn't make your Hall of Fame of bad movies?
No, I've seen some pretty bad movies.
I think it's top 10. I don't know about top 5, because I like a lot of shitty movies.
Yes.
I definitely think it's top 10.
This was, I had watched this movie a long time ago and enjoyed it as a kid, but you're pretty dumb when you're a kid. But I was expecting to enjoy this a lot less than I did. And it held up enormously well, as far as like ridiculous carnage, the AC/DC soundtrack's fun.
It's a lot of practicals, which is great.
It's all practicals, mm-hmm. except for the electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
And the ooze.
The secret of the ooze.
The UFO?
UFO? It's like the Cards Against Humanity card that's just bees?
Question mark?
UFO?
But I would wholeheartedly endorse this. I would say this is a solid recommend, especially if it's still free on Netflix by the time you get this. And if it's not, find it somewhere for cheap. I'm sure you can get it for a couple of bucks.
Mm-hmm. Local library.
Exactly. I'm sure they have it.
If they don't, them get it.
I wonder if there's a novelization of this book, of this movie.
It's based on a short story.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's called Trucks.
And then he made it into a movie, and then he made it into a novel. So.
The novelization.
The novelization of the film based on a short story pushed by Sapphire.
The novelization of the movie. What is it called? Precious. Based on the novel pushed by Sapphire.
We will be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Thank you for listening to Dissect the 80s.
Don't you forget about me.
That's right.
Marty, we gotta go back. I fucked that up. What do I do?
I'm leaving all this in, by the way. Every show has the same catchphrase.
This is only the second time we've done it.
Shh. They don't know that. I don't know what episode the order they're going to go up in. So let's try that again.
People think I'm a moron. Marty, we're going to go back to dissect the 80s.
Yes.
It's a little Nixon. It's more Nixon.
It is very
it's
Nixon.
Okay, it's also 80s. You're really getting
Nixon's the 80s. Nixon's not the
80s. He's not the
80s? No, he's the 70s.
Is he?
Watergate.
I thought he was like late 70s, early 80s.
I can give you a great, shitty Nixon.
No, but it is not Nixon. I don't remember how we ended the show last time. What is the ending of this show?
Don't you forget about me.
That's right.
Fist
you
bump.
Sing it?
I hope